Shope.
Hey, put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the Bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Bulldog just rattled off James Reimer's career, and I'm exhausted listening to it.
He's been around.
How many air miles does James Reimer have in his life? Just from traveling between teams.
Yep. Yeah,
all four corners.
I didn't know. We were talking to Paul. This came up with Paul because we were talking about revenge games. They're playing Anaheim on Friday, and the Sabres just claimed Reimer back after losing him on waivers to Anaheim back at the beginning of the season. He only played two games there, got waived. The Sabres got him back. So they're like, oh, revenge game. Oh, not tomorrow, unless he plays tomorrow. But San Jose, too. He played two full seasons in San Jose pretty recently and also played eight games there in between long stints in Toronto, and I don't know what happened there.
He's practically in the Ring of Honor.
Right.
Joining us now on the Western Hotline is Joe Ostrowski, the host of BetQL Daily, weekdays from 9 to noon, with Sam Paniatovich, who will join us tomorrow. And BetMGM Game Days, Sunday mornings with Jason Lockenfora. You can hear these on the Odyssey app, the BetQL Network, and our own The Bet 1520. Hi, Joe.
I wanted to make sure that I wasn't imagining a DM from Mike Shope from a while back. So I went back and checked.
Uh-oh.
And here it is. I did find it.
What time of day?
Well,
what time of day?
It was early. It was a little early. Here's the thing. I didn't respond, so I'm thinking it was a post-Super Bowl vacation or something. I forgot to get back to you. It was like 7 a.m. How does Tariq Skubal for AL Cy grab you?
Yeah, you found that. Yes.
Yes.
Joe, I picked Sale, too.
Get out.
I mean, I didn't bet anything. I can't bet awards in lonely the Empire State. But
yeah,
in my one kind of big fantasy league, I drafted both guys in the name of they're both going to win the Cy Young.
Man, the man just is keeping you down over here.
I know. Well, Joe's our Cy Young guy, Robbie Ray.
I won't even tell you where is. I got to find this. Because a listener last night, as soon as this happened, they sent a screenshot to us. I'm like, I don't remember saying it, but because they said it, they were listening to the show and they bet it at the time. They did a two-leg parlay, Skubal 14-1, Sale 25-1 for over 500-1.
Yeah, pretty good.
Wow, big clap. All right.
Yeah.
was either vote close?
I didn't even look because the odds were so far. Yep. I assumed it was not close. The AL rookie, I know that was really close, but I don't think the Cy Young was.
I don't either, especially Skubal, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, too bad. I could have used a new jacuzzi.
Yeah, a little bump would have been nice.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Joe, I got a DM from Joe today that says he wants to talk about ugly dogs. And I mentioned this to Bulldog, and I think maybe that starts with the Browns,
right?
Betting ugly dogs.
I do. Yeah, Mike mentions this to me, and I go, "Oh, I'm already on the Browns." Like it's the NFL, go Browns.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you. 3.5. I was thinking some of the higher numbers, which we can go over, but yeah, tonight. So what's been really interesting is the movement on the total that we've seen all week. So this thing opened 42. On Sunday, and then it was bet down immediately, and that's where we've been most of the week because there was a scare with the weather. And early in the week, you saw all sorts of stuff. Wind gusts up to 30 to 40 miles an hour, sustained 20 miles per hour. It's going to be snowing. It's going to be freezing. It's going to be
snow pellets, Joe. Snow pellets are in the
snow
forecast.
Snow pellets, a little bit everything. So the total goes down 6-7 points. But over the last 24 hours, when we have a weather forecast, we think we can trust a little bit more. Not too much because it's still meteorologists. But the total's been going up. So people are thinking, okay, it's not going to be as bad as originally reported. But it is still low. It's between 36.5 and 37. For what it's worth, on the show today, Sam ended up taking the over. I did not touch the total. We've been pretty strong at Steelers by 3.5 in this spot. And I do agree with you. It's coming off a Ravens win over that team. Short turnaround, quick turnaround. Tomlin historically does not have good numbers in those games, especially on the road. He's 0-5 straight up, 1-4 against the spread. And Stefanski, does have really good numbers. Even though he struggled in those divisional matchups, he does do very well on short wet rest here. But, yeah, I'm with you. I just, these AFC North matchups, if you're giving me a dog and it's higher than three, I'm going to look on that side every time, just like we did last week in a different role for Pittsburgh when they were the 3.5-point underdog to the Baltimore Ravens. And we know what happened there. They win without even scoring a touchdown.
Right. You were on that. You told us that last week. It reminds me of that Jets-Houston game, 6-2 versus 2-6, and the Jets were favored, and that's been pretty safe. When that happens, the Browns are not favored, but it's 3.5 at home, 8-2 versus 2-8.
Yep.
It shows you what kind of respect the Steelers get, which is not much. Well, I'm into the Nick Chubb narrative tonight, Joe. Primetime against the Steelers last year is when he suffered his really unfortunate knee injury. He's been back, but unheralded. And here you go. Weather game, maybe, and I just got to think the Browns are going to want to, if you will, pay him for his rehab and the work that went into. I mean, that guy's been on that team a long time. They really haven't gotten very far. If they can, I would think that they would want to, you know, give him some glory tonight.
Yeah, that's funny. I was just talking to somebody else who's like, he brought up that same angle, but he was looking at the other guy with Ford because his numbers are so low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And both teams are probably going to have to use both backs in this matchup. The Chubb numbers, very low, 52.5 for rushing yards, 14.5 on attempts. I would think that both sides are going to have to lean on the run game. And I think the number is gone. There isn't value on it. But there have been a lot of people that have taken a look at these Tomlin games in bad weather, and what has he done? Something he's talked about openly. He's leaned on Najee Harris, and those numbers are what? We're like 17.5 rushing attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's we've gone too far on that one. Mid-60s, though, yardage, that's a little bit better, but if you want to attack the rushing games of both sides, I would not have an issue with that.
And even Warren at 8.5, both Harris and Warren are money's leaning toward the over. Like people are betting that the Steelers are going to hand the ball off all night. So, okay. Well, Thursday Night Football.
I know we've talked about this before, and we may have already touched on enough of it, but I just want one little follow-up here on the weather, because it's not supposed to be, I don't think, that windy, as it turns out, but there'll be precipitation, and it's going to be cold. That's why we've got a mix of rain and snow and snow pellets. Do you usually think that that's going to be bad for passing games, or, you know, because the old adage is the defenders won't know where the receivers are going, somebody falls down, and you can get a, you know, a pretty big day out of that?
Yeah, Bulldog, it's a good reminder because it looks like it's going to be our first weather game of the year, and maybe we'll get some more this weekend. I don't know about you guys, but a ton of snow here this morning. It doesn't look like it's going to be around this weekend for the game, but you know, maybe there are some other spots throughout the Midwest where it does play a factor. Rain, snow, that does not move numbers. Don't overreact to that when they go, you know, in their pregame show today. Like, everybody will be, a lot of the bettors will be taking a look in the Amazon pregame show. Like, okay, what does it look like on the field? Is it very windy? That is most important. And the marker is 20 miles per hour. When you see sustained winds at 20 miles per hour, then you'll see a big drop in the total because that's when it really matters. Now, gusts at 20, that's different.
Yep.
Sustained 10 to 15, that's not that big of a deal. But if it's throughout 20, that's going to impact things. I did see the quarterback numbers seem really low. Now, Russell Wilson hasn't done great in the last couple of games, but I believe his passing number, 182. Yeah, so it's pretty low.
Well, tune into the pregame show to see how much Fitzpatrick's beard is blowing around then. That's what we got to do to monitor the wind.
Speaking of the Steelers, Mike Tomlin is now the coach of the year favorite. You know, when we have these conversations with you and with Sam, it comes down to value much of the time. So how do you see it? You wouldn't want to bet Tomlin at this point. You would have wanted to bet him 2 months ago.
Correct. If I have a vote, my vote is going to Tomlin right now. And that's why he's the favorite sitting at 3-1. And Dan Campbell is the second favorite sitting at 4-1. But the way I view it is there's this group of coaches, we can call it 6-8, somewhere in that range. I think any of them can win it. Any of them. And who knows, maybe if there's a team that comes out of nowhere like Seattle, like in the middle, and they end up winning the NFC West, maybe you can get a super long shot on Mike McDonald or something like that. But I'm looking at those 6 to 8 coaches, and I'm just hunting for value because I think we can make a strong case on any of them. And the one that is just screaming at me is Sean Payton at 22-1.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's just because of the number. And if it was a couple of these other names that were further down that were in that range, I'd probably make the same case for them. But you know, handpicked quarterback, he's developing. All of a sudden, that's a two-player race. We thought it was over, but it's not over for Offensive Rookie of the Year between Nix and Jaden Daniels. And look at the way they're competing in that division, which everybody thought was over. I'm not trying to overreact to one loss.
Right.
But they're still hanging in there, and I don't think you have to win the division to win this award. We've certainly seen that in the past. Daboll won it without winning the division. They were in third place in the division that year. So I think Peyton's a good look at 22-1. And if Dan Quinn can get things back on track here, plus 850, that's a pretty good number. As far as likelihood, yeah, Tomlin has a better chance of winning. Jim Harbaugh, especially if they win on Monday night against the Ravens. That would make a lot of sense, but this thing seems pretty wide open to a good number of coaches.
It'd be really wild if that division turned into any kind of a race, because I think you go back to the Russell Wilson trade and Davante Adams trade with us and Herbert in you know with the Chargers, and there was a lot of talk about from me anyway, and I think when you were on with us, like that division is just going to eat each other, and that's good for the Bills because Mahomes is going to be challenged now. It never really materialized, but now maybe it finally is with Harbaugh in with the Chargers, and the Broncos maybe have turned a corner here. I mean, the Raiders are still wasted, but still, yes. At least I'll take two out of those three, at least giving Kansas City some kind of a hassle.
Yeah, it's truly amazing what Jim Harbaugh has done in 1 year. He doesn't even have his guys in, right? Like, he's got the quarterback, and it made some changes, clear the direction that they were going by the changes that they did make. But 1 year, you can only turn over so much. What's that going to look like in a couple of years when he has full control of that roster? So, not a division that I would want to be in a few years down the road.
It's never Sean McDermott. He's never even in the conversation. The Ravens year with Jackson winning in his first full season playing, John Harbaugh, won the coach of the year. So it's not unprecedented that a team could have both. Josh Allen is the MVP favorite. But, I mean, this has been a great job by McDermott. Like, they've turned some of this roster over, and they're sitting at 9-2. If they get the one seed, we know how much that's worth in these. I don't think he wins coach of the year if he's not even getting a mention at 9-2. But I don't know, maybe he deserves one.
He has the same odds as Andy Reid, 25-1.
Well, there's that conversation too.
It's the same conversation, right? Yeah. I don't like the way they handle it, but we're trying to win a bet. And
Yeah,
the voters just, they're not going to go that way. Even though I do agree that those two guys should get a lot more love than they do.
How about MVP at this point? The context with value and everything like that, is there any value left?
It depends who you're betting. It is.
It's realistic.
Do you think, well, how many players do you think are in the race? That's the question.
One.
I was going to say four tops.
Four tops.
But not the four tops. I don't think they're eligible. But
well, is Jalen Hurts?
That's why I would include him, Allen, Mahomes, and Jackson.
That's it.
Ooh, not Goff.
Goff?
Ooh, see, I overlook Goff just because, you know, he doesn't run.
He's Goff. What about Kyler? No,
I don't know.
Justin Herbert.
But Goff is certainly a credible choice here. Where Burrow? Is he in the odds right now, Joe?
So Goff is third.
Okay.
Goff is ahead of Mahomes now. Mahomes fell to 14-1. He's been falling the last few weeks, every week. Jalen Hurts, they keep winning, but his odds are actually slipping a little bit. So I don't like having this conversation most times because I say it's not going to happen. Maybe it's different. Is Saquon more valuable than Jalen Hurts?
Is Henry more valuable than Jackson? We say no, right?
No,
I mean,
I say no.
Well, Allen's in the lead. I know that after Sunday.
Yes, he is. Plus 150, plus 200 for Lamar. So that close. Certainly flipped. Mm-hmm. And then there's a drop-off. Like, Goff is third, but he's 8-1. He's not in that conversation right now with that top tier between Allen and Lamar Jackson.
So, Joe, how about the rest of week 12? I mean, we've got the Bills off this week. Six teams on bye this week, which is annoying in fantasy, as is the case in 2 weeks, which is even more annoying as we're into the playoffs here, pretty much. Anyway, that's not the question. Do you have a couple of favorite picks this week?
Well, I want to talk about ugly dogs because that's ugly where dogs. I find myself going this week, and it is gross, gross, gross. Now, last week it was another one of those weeks where it was mostly favorites. The Texans winning on Monday night cashed a lot of those money line parlays because we only had one big underdog win outright, and that was the Seahawks over the 49ers. I don't know what to do with the 49ers moving forward. How much do you want to sell them? That's a big question. We've seen Super Bowl loser, man. Not all the time, but it does seem to happen from time to time where the Super Bowl loser, everything goes wrong for them, and that's what's happening there. As far as ugly underdogs, we talk about Kansas City all the time. You want to take them, it didn't work last week, but you want to take them as an underdog or as a short favorite, and you want to go against them as a big favorite. They are laying 11 points. I know it's Carolina, but it's 11 points with a team that can't put up a lot of points right now. So that has my attention. You know, Jaden Daniels over the last 2 weeks has not looked great. Completion percentage over expectation. He's been bottom two. They're saying he's still dealing with the rib, even though he's been playing with that injury over the last month. They're 10.5-point favorites against a division rival. Cowboys have looked awful. I would say that they actually looked a little bit better. Cooper Rush was able to actually move the football this time around, but the Cowboys at +10.5, I'm looking at. And again, underwhelmed by the Texans. Yes, they won. Yes, they covered. But should they be favored in a division matchup by more than a touchdown? I would argue no. If you look at the Stroud numbers since week number 6, there are a number of quarterback metrics where he's bottom 5 in the league. So that's why I brought up ugly dogs. It's hard to pull the trigger on these bad teams, but they're not all going to win and cover these big numbers.
I can't get into the mood for teasers. You always are talking about it, and I respect it, and Sam too. Mm-hmm. Last week he told it. I saw it on your show. They're teasing the Chiefs, and I don't know. It's like one play. We have this in common. I need a good price. I got to get two games right, and I'm gonna basically even money bet right in a 6-point teaser around. So I don't know. It's just never really felt right to me. But
I hear you. Yeah, I don't mind that opinion at all. Chiefs. That sucked. Like, you're looking for 2 yards, and then look at what Josh Allen does. That play made him the favorite. If that play doesn't happen, if they win, is he the favorite? I don't know. Maybe he's even with Lamar, but that was your highlight reel play. Maybe that's the one that he needs to get this award. Certainly, if they get the one seed, I think he's going to get that award. But, yeah, no, I mean, that was so close. And then, of course, the other ones that I was looking at, they all hit. It was just that Chiefs one that did not hit in that one.
Right. All right, Joe. Nice to talk to you as always. Good luck in week 12.
All right. Enjoy watching all the games as fans this week.
With no Bills game, right?
Yes, exactly.
What's your preferred Sunday? Are you out with friends? Are you home with 17 TVs or what?
No. No, I'm at home. I can't do... Because we've got to talk about it like you do on Monday morning on the show, and I can't. I've got a couple hours after the show ends on BetMGM game day, and then when the games start. But look, I paid for Sunday ticket. It has changed my life. I'm not wasting one of those Sundays listening to the commentary of people whose opinions I don't respect.
There it is. Right. In one sentence, there it is. All right. Thanks again, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Joe Ostrowski, BetQL Daily with Sam Panayotovich, who we speak with on Fridays. Also, the BetMGM Sunday morning pregame work with Jason Lockenfora. You can hear both shows on the Bet 1520. I'm ready to watch some snow fly.
I'll be looking
and not out my window.
I'll be looking forward on Sunday to driving my family insane as we drive back from Boston while NFL games are going on, and I'm trying to either listen to them through cell service or watch them on Fubo through cell service. We've made this drive before on football Sundays. There's a lot of spotty, there's a lot of dropout, and I just never want to get, reboot it. Just close it out and open it again. Maybe it'll be better.
Oh, I know.
And even Owen, who cares? Like, my wife and Leo could not care less. Owen would care. Everyone would just be like, Dad, please. Will you put on a podcast or something? Like,
you're in the Berkshires. You're not getting
right,
the,
no,
the
right.
NFL radio.
Exactly. Right.
You know, there are some people, I think it's admirable. You know what they do when the Bills are off? They don't watch the other games. They take a break.
Mm.
They go for a hike.
I'm kind of doing that, but I mean, I normally would not. It's just that we're traveling back from going to a concert in Boston on Saturday night, so I have no choice.
Please don't have my question to Joe imply that you are obligated to watch the NFL all day, even when there's no Bills game.
I love those days when there's no Bills game. I mean, I love the Bills games, but like to just be able to sit and have a few beers and, you know, order some takeout and just, you know that we don't have to do anything on the air, that I love those days. So Sunday, I mean, I'm thrilled we're going where we're going, but I'll miss just sitting around Sunday watching. Luckily, we don't work post game for the night games, so we get to do that again next week anyways for us. So,
yep. Just no anchovies.
Right.
Just make sure no anchovies.
No anchovies.
What's your perfect bye week Sunday? 803-0550. Chris Trapasso still to come today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.